Okay, well, this month is September, and we're going through Ephesians. It's the first of 3 months that we're going to go through the book of Ephesians. Each time we go through it, we're going to look at a different different theme in the book. And this month, we're looking at our identity, and that our natural identity is that we are, in God's eyes, we are really just deserve to be punished by Him. In the last week, we talked about how that changes is Jesus saves us, and He gives us a new identity, and the result of that is that then we have a new identity in Christ, and that's what we kind of talked about last week. So this week is the third week, and so I guess now, kind of in practical terms, we want to look at what is having a new identity in Christ, how does that affect us, what does that mean, and what do we do about that? Like, how do we actually utilize that, I guess? Okay, so in the Bible, there's a lot of things that God talks about, ways that he's going to bless us if we follow Him and if we live for Him and if we make Him our King and our God. And then there's promises He makes about how He's going to give us peace and He's going to, you know, he's already forgiven us for our sins and He's given us Himself. But there's places where He talks about how the peace that He'll give us and the contentment and things like that. But how do we actually take advantage of that? Like, how do we actually have God's peace in our life? That's kind of, I mean, we can know what it is. We can know, okay, my identity is that I'm God's child now. But how do we actually take advantage of God being our Father, and everything that comes along with that? And we think that a lot of times, I think what happens is our reaction is we think, okay, if I'm a Christian now, if I'm following Jesus, what I need to do is be more involved with church. Okay, so you go to church and every week, and you go to all the Bible studies, and you hang out with Christian people, and you do all the stuff. When they need help, you help out, and it's good things to do. But if that's all we do, if that's all you focus on, that can end up being pretty dry and not fulfilling at all like it should be. There's a verse I want to look at in Matthew, chapter 18, or 15, I'm sorry, verses 8 and 9. And Jesus is talking to the people that the Jewish religious leaders. And these people they knew the real God and they worshipped Him, but they had kind of forgotten the real purpose behind it. And instead, they were just wrapped up in all the rules and the things that they thought they were supposed to do to look good and to make God happy. And what He says to them, He says, is, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, but their teachings are but rules taught by men." So what's He saying in that? What's the point He's trying to make through saying that? He says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So what does that sound like? Okay, so it's just, yeah, exactly. So it's just, you know, they're saying the right things, but they don't really have the heart behind it, because it's like their heart's kind of dried up. Really? Okay. We'll pray for you afterwards. but yeah, that's what He's getting at. These people who really don't have a love for God, and they don't have a relationship with God, and the result of that is that they try to do all the right things, and they try to be involved in religion and things like that, but the only reason they really do it is for other people's approval, and so the other people will look at them and say, "Ooh, look, he's a really good person. He's doing everything that he's supposed to do," and the people will give them respect instead of looking for the respect from God. And so, like I said, you know, it leaves us dry, and it really doesn't fill us up. And that's the promise that God gives us, is that He will fill us like nothing else can. Good. Kind of. It's connected, I guess. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. At the end, remind me about fasting. Okay. Okay. And also, when you have anger problems, like Fab over here. I'm just kidding. And so what happens is you can feel, okay, I'm going to do more, and you think, I'm going to do more to be connected with God. I'm going to do more projects, and I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to sing louder. But ultimately, it's not going to do much more. Instead, it's going to lead us to be like legalistic and just really be worried about the rules and make sure we're following the rules and make sure other people are following the rules, and judgmental and always looking at other people and saying, "Oh, are they doing everything that I'm doing? Are they as following God as well as I am?" And that can either lead us to be proud when we do succeed in some ways, and also really discouraged when we do fail. Because eventually, if we're just doing it to please other people, we're going to fail. So the big idea for today is that is not going to bring us our true identity with Christ. How we really make the most of our identity in Christ is through a relationship with Him. And through that's how God promises that we will be fulfilled and He'll give us that peace. So now I'm going to go through Ephesians, which is the book we're going through this month. And I'm going to go through about half of chapter 1 and... Oh, wait. Yeah, about half of chapter 1 and most of chapter 2. And I'm just going to read through it and kind of like about one verse at a time. And then we'll just kind of talk about it. And you guys tell me if you guys have any thoughts that come to your mind when I read something. Say them, and I'll ask you guys some questions. We'll look through it, see what's it saying about being in Christ and having a relationship with Him and our identity being with that. Okay, so the book starts with, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ. Okay, so to begin with, he says, I'm who I am, it's because of the will of God. Then he says to the people he's writing a letter to, the Christians that are in this town called Ephesus, and he says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So their identity was that they were in Christ Jesus. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's kind of, it's like he's reminding them of what God has promised them, the grace and the peace that God says comes with being His child. That comes through the relationship with God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Okay, so there's two kind of big things he says in this verse. What was the first thing? First thing is praise to God, basically. And then he says he has blessed us with everything, every spiritual blessing in Christ. So he's saying through Christ, he's given us every spiritual blessing we could ever need. You guys have any idea what he means by spiritual blessing? Okay. This is what comes to my mind when I read it, is that think about just like throughout life, there's things, there's like desires and needs that we have inside of us, you know? Let's say to be happy or to be accepted by people or friends or something. Okay, but let's say just for an example, let's say there's an item you want. Maybe it's a game or some clothing or, I don't know, a car or something that you think you're looking forward to having and you think it's going to make you happy. So you have like this desire inside of you. And it's not really like a physical desire, but we try to satisfy it with a physical thing. Does that make sense? And I think what Jesus is saying is, or what not Jesus, what Paul is saying is that all these desires that we have that we usually try to satisfy with physical things, God says He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So it's like He's given us the answer to all of the needs we have inside of us, and He's given us what we need. So that need that we think we have for, like, let's say a new car or a car or clothing or kind of whatever it is you're into that you want. That the next thing that you want, whatever those needs are inside of you, God has put those inside of you, but He's also has the answer to it somewhere, and it's in Christ. It's through relationship with God that we really find the answer to those things. It says, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. So God chose us. Before He made anything that we see right now, before He made the universe or the world or the sun or the water, I mean, before all this, He already knew that He wanted us to be His children, and He wanted to know us, and He wanted to make us. It says, in love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely has given us in the one he loves. So he's saying, you know, he planned ahead of time to make us. And then he also knew we were going to, at some point, turn away from him. And we were going to sin and sin against God. But then he says he predestined that. So he planned ahead that he would adopt us as his children. So he knew at some point we would go away from him. But he said he predestined, he planned that at some point he would send his son and he would save us and bring us back to him and adopt us as his children again. And then he says he does this so that we would praise him. Says to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. And the one he loves, he's talking about Jesus. So he's saying, the whole reason I created you and I made it possible for you to be my children is so that you would praise me and it would be for my glory. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So he's saying, you know, he knew he was going to adopt us, and again, as his children, and the reason for that and the plan was going to be for his glory. And then he says, you know, he was going to do that through just the forgiveness of our sins, because he knew that was going to be necessary, that, you know, we would turn away from him, but he would forgive us. Says he, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So saying, he's kind of going through God's big plan that, again, you know, his plan was to bring us all together under Christ. That right now there's differences and there's things that separate us. But his plan is that eventually we would be all one family under Christ and we would have a relationship with him. And through that, we would have kind of family all together. But his plan is that we would all be united through Christ and connected to God. Okay. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So again, kind of summing up what he's been talking about a little bit. It says, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. So again, he's saying the reason God has given us life and through Jesus is so that we would praise him and we would see God for how forgiving and how just and how loving he really is. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, so he says we were included in Christ, and then he says he gave us his spirit. God put his spirit inside of us. So he says he says that it was like with a seal. So it's like let me think how to say this. So it's almost like he put a stamp on us and said, "You're my child," and eventually we're gonna be with him, and he kind of marked us so we would know, you know, who's his child and who is going to spend eternity with him. But that's what his spirit does. His spirit is kind of the thing that stamps us, and that's the stamp that's on us. So while that, he says it's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance with Christ. So while that is what's happening, it's also we have God's spirit in the meantime, and he's inside of us. And so we have an instant relationship with God, like an instant connection with him. Okay, and then chapter 2, verses 5 through 22. Actually, I'm starting verse 4. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So God says, because of his love for us, God made us alive. He put that spirit in it, like we were just talking about. He put that spirit inside of us, and he gave us that new identity, and he gave us new life inside. It says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So if you think about like we were dead before inside, and that's kind of how it talks about another place of the Bible, that inside we were, our spirits were really dead. It says God, in the section right before this, he said God made us alive with Christ. And then what I just read, it says he lifted us up and he seated us with Christ in the heavenly realm. So it's like we are seated with Christ right now. It's like we have, we're with God. We're with Christ right now. And part of that is through our spirits. It's like he took our spirits and he put us in a room with Christ and with Jesus. Yes. And the way he ends that again is, in order to show in the coming ages how he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness through us in Christ Jesus. So again, he ends it with saying, in Christ Jesus. There's something about being in Christ that's really important because he keeps repeating it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. So God really wants us to see how great he is. So he didn't say we had to do certain things to be good enough for him. He just says he gives us his grace and he gives us faith. And that's how he saved us, is through his grace, because we didn't deserve it. And he wanted to show us how helpless we almost are. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's kind of interesting here. He says, in verse 8, he says, you know, it's by grace we have been saved, and it's not from anything we do. It's the gift of God. And then just one or two verses later, it says, God created us to do good works. So it's almost like when we try to be good enough before we're part of God, we're God's child, it doesn't do any good to make us saved in God's eyes or to make us good enough. But once we're God's child, it's like that's our whole purpose then, is to do good things, because that's what God created us for. So it's not just that we're not supposed to try to do good things to try to be good enough before God's eyes, because we won't be good enough. But at the same time, we are created to do good things. We're created for a reason. Okay, and this is, therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who were called themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Israel, or from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Okay, so a little background here, what he's talking about. He's talking about for the Jews before, they were God's people, and they had certain things that God said they had to do, certain regulations. And so the people he's talking to and writing this to weren't originally Jews. So he's saying, before, you didn't have these regulations and you weren't following them, therefore you were separate from God. So that's why he said everything he just said. He said, before you were separate from God and like, you didn't have citizenship in Israel. But then he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So that applies to most of us right now. It applies to everyone now, that even if you weren't an Israelite before or a Jew and following all of their rules, or even if you were, either way, now God has said, I want everyone to be part of my family, not just the Jews. And he opened it up through Christ. He opened it up so that anyone could be saved and could come to know him. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. So he's saying, part of Christ's purpose was to take away that separation that there used to be. And now that there is, kind of for us right now, there's a difference between being part of God's family and not, or that feeling that we have of being separate from God. What he's saying is now that's taken away. Now we can be connected personally with God through Jesus and the fact he died for us and he gave his blood for us. He says, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he was put to death, or by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. They're saying it doesn't matter who you are or how far away you think you are from God. Jesus came to preach peace to people who seemed like good people that were maybe close to God. And he also came to preach peace to people who were far away from God, who would never think that they would have anything to do with God. Jesus came for both of them. So consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So it kind of gives us this, what a cornerstone was back then when they would build houses, they would, build them out of stones and stuff like that. And they would start with one big rock in the corner, and that was like the most important piece of the house, and everything would be built off that. And Jesus is saying he is the most important piece, and now we are kind of the rest of a house that's being built around him. It says, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Okay, so that last verse, I got a question for you guys. It says, in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Do you guys have any ideas what he might be talking about with that? What about, what's the dwelling that he's talking about? We're being built together into something, and that's God's Spirit is living in that. What is that thing that's being built? Kind of. I think he was talking about is the church. And not just like a building, but the people who are God's children. That is what the church is. And that's what he's talking about. And he's saying his Spirit comes and lives. He lives in us and he lives in his children. Yep, that's what he says. Okay, and then a couple verses in chapter 3. Verse 6 says, this is the mystery that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Okay, so part of that's kind of going back to saying that separation there was between Jews and people who weren't, and those are called Gentiles. So it was Jews and Gentiles, they were separate. But it really applies to us, though, because it can apply to us too, because he's saying through Jesus, anyone who was either close to God before or wasn't, they're all brought to God, and that separation is taken away. And now we are members, we're like part of God's body. Then verse 11 and 12 says, actually 10, verse 10 through 12 says, his intent was that now through the church the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So this is just, it's really cool right at the end. He says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So through Jesus, on one side, there's the fact that God is so amazing, is so powerful that we can't really understand it. And that could make us kind of fearful of God. Because there's usually when there's things that are really, really powerful in the world, there's a little bit of fear associated with that. But what he's saying is, even though that's our natural instinct, is that that's what God is, and he's so, so far above us like that, but we can still personally go to God and be with him through Christ. Okay, then verse 17 says, verse 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. So begin with, in verse 17, he talks about how Jesus is going to strengthen us with his Spirit so that he can dwell inside of us. And then at the end of what I was reading, he says that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So it's like he wants to fill us up with God, with himself. Okay, so like the first verse we read, we were talking about, it said, Jesus was saying, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So like maybe it'd be like us singing in there and singing things that would be praising to God, but inside our hearts, we don't really care at all what's going on. We wish we were somewhere else, or you just don't care. That's kind of one side of things. But what we've been just going through and talking about is how God wants to be inside of us. And he wants his Spirit to be inside of us. He wants to have a personal connection and relationship with him. And so that is kind of the contrast to the first thing, where Jesus says these people are just acting, basically. But what he really wants is our hearts, and he wants our inside to be what's worshiping him as well. And so that is kind of what destroys what can happen with that empty religious thing. Chapter 2, verse 15 says, we read this a little bit ago, but part of it was, said, by abolishing his flesh, the law with its commandments and regulations. So now it's not about just commandments and regulations that we follow and rules that we do, and by that we have a relationship with God. Now we have God living inside of us, so we have just a personal relationship with God. And he says he wants to basically fill us up. So here's what I want to like challenge you guys with is, we're just reading about having a relationship with God and being in Christ and having his Spirit living in us. And if you haven't entered a relationship to get with God, then that's what's before you then. At the beginning of what we're reading said, he will bless us with every spiritual blessing. It's like all of those needs inside of you, God has put them there, and he's put them, and he also has the answer for those things, and it's him. And through that, we can satisfy all those needs inside of us through Jesus. So if you haven't decided to become a child of God, it's waiting for you, and he made you to be his child. There's a verse in Galatians, which is right before Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 27 says, 26 and 27 says, we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ were have clothed yourselves with Christ. He's saying if you've been baptized into God, into Christ, it's like you put on a new outfit, and you're a new person. And that's what comes with entering into relationship with God. That's what baptism is. It's repenting from what you were and saying, Jesus, you're going to be my king now, and making him your ruler. Okay. So if you have already done that, live like God is really your father, and live like he's really living inside of you. Spend time, like you were saying, let's say like fasting, because what you're doing then is you're kind of forcing yourself to remember God. Because we know we get hungry throughout the day. like our stomachs get hungry, but also our souls get hungry. And when you don't feed your stomach, you get hungrier and hungrier. And so basically it's just, you're kind of reminding yourself, my stomach's getting hungry, but also my soul is getting hungry for God and for a need to have a relationship with God and to have prayer and to talk to him. So that's why we fast. It's so that you can kind of just remember and really it gives you a better understanding for what it really means, what it really feels like to be hungry for God as well. So along with that goes spending time reading the Bible, and talking to God and letting his spirit take the words in the Bible and apply them to you. And if you read the Bible and you pray, God will really take what he says in the Bible and in the Bible it says it'll go inside of you and it'll be like a sword and it'll cut and it'll change you, who you are on the inside. So yeah, that's basically the two steps, I guess, that like no matter where you are, you fall into one of those two categories. Either your next step is to decide that you want God to be your father and you want a relationship with Jesus. Or if you already have that, if you started that relationship, then continue it and try to grow it. Spend time reading the Bible and spend time praying and talking to God. And just living, remembering that Jesus is inside of you and that his spirit is inside of you. And he's made you a new person. He's given you a new identity with a purpose. So we'll pray now and then go back in. So Lord, thank you for planning at the very beginning of time that you would make us. Thank you for giving us a purpose in life like that, to know you. Let us know that the reason we're here is not just to work our whole life and then get old and die, but it's to know you and to have you be our Father. Pray that inside of each of us, you would give us a longing for you that we can't just make on our own, and you would give us a hunger for a relationship with you. And this week, we really seek you and seek to be close to you. And it's your name we pray. Amen.